Okay.
We'll be back
here. I have one other question.
Okay. So. All right. Hold on.
Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now that we totally screwed up the affiliates out there, sorry about that, fellas. We had a little computer glitch. We've been pulling and patching and reinstalling and uninstalling here. I am surprised the computer even fired today. At any rate, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. Last live broadcast from these studios, we're moving the studio across town here in Round Rock, Texas. And we will be off air. There'll be reruns Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll be back up Monday morning live with the regularly scheduled programming. We appreciate your indulgence out there while we make this move. We're coming back bigger and badder and better than ever, folks. And it's a great way to clean house, too, and organize. That's the one positive after a move here. You'd be amazed at what you find out and what you've lost in the miles and miles and reams of paperwork and books and information. And it, folks, you think you've got libraries out there, but we're inundated here. So it's a great way to reorganize. My guest today, Peter Hendrickson, the book, Cracking the Code, The Fascinating Truth About Taxation in America. He's gotten back for his readers over $2,281,000, excuse me, and the numbers are still rolling on that. Before I go back to Alan in Texas, how do they get a copy of your book, Pete?
Well, the simplest way is go to LostHorizons.com, and there is an order page at LostHorizons.com/cc.htm, that's the simplest way to go about it.
Okay, LostHorizons.com.cc.htm.
/cc, sorry, John.
/cc.htm?
.htm.
Okay, great. All right, we'll repeat that a few more times. And by the way, I was thinking here, because I've got Alan here in Texas, we'll bring back after this break. Ran a little bit long there. There's a lot of people that I know down here in Texas that are having problems with the IRS. They're pulling their hair out. They're looking for solutions to their problems. And it's probably one of the most uncomfortable things, ladies and gentlemen, that you'll ever go through in this life. Because they not only threaten for guarantee-ment, locking up your bank accounts, calling people and telling them you're under indictment from the IRS. If you are a business owner, they'll call your suppliers. Every bit of harassment, intimidation that you can possibly think of, threatening you with removal of your money, your property, your cats, your dogs, your parakeets, whatever else. This is the number one problem here in America that most individuals will face unless you want to lay down and just pay that tax that they have no right in taxing you the way the system is set up. Are you available for symposiums down here in Texas?
I absolutely am. In fact, I've done some speaking down in San Antonio and in Austin, and you know, occasions will arise in the future, I'm sure. In fact, I have a very very large and active readership in Texas. I have actually state groups in 48 of the 50 states, and Texas is the second largest of those groups.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to have to do for the first symposium that Republic Broadcasting puts on after we make our move. We're going to bring you down here, Pete.
Well, it'll be my pleasure.
All righty. Hang on, Alan. We'll get to the balance of your phone call. Bill in Idaho and others, 800-313-9443 is the call-in number. This is the last live show out of this location. We'll be back with you live Monday. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Attention. This is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Pete, I assumed when I called you 50 minutes before broadcast today that you could spend the second hour with us.
Well, I'd be happy to.
Okay. Great. I really appreciate that. Alan in Texas, you've been holding forever. We had to take a break.
Sure. No problem. Pete, I was wondering, are you following Tommy Crier's case?
Yeah, up to a point, yes.
Well, what do you think? What do you think his chances are?
Well, Tommy is of the show me the law, there ain't no law school. And I think that he's going to have a rocky time in court as a consequence. As we were discussing a little while ago, there certainly is a law, and you know it works in quirky ways. And if it's understood, it's easy to deal with by any American. But the
common guy, you're talking about somebody that can read your book.
The common guy has no difficulty whatsoever of the. Of the hundreds of victories in applying the law that are posted at LostHorizons.com, they include Americans of every possible level of accomplishment and education and what have you. There are doctors and lawyers in the ranks, and there are truckers and nurses and homemakers and. There's nothing tricky about it. There's nothing difficult about it. The only tricky thing about it is overcoming the misinformation that has been drilled into the heads of Americans their entire lives, to this this notion that every dollar is a constitutes income, and as is meant in the law and is taxable. Get past the flaming head of the Wizard of Oz. It becomes real easy to see the little guy behind the curtain that's working the controls, and anybody can deal with that little guy.
Alan, good. Anything else?
No, I'm just sure. I hope Tommy is successful, though.
Oh, I hope he is too. He is a non-filer. That's going to have been his major difficulty to deal with. As I was outlining a little while ago, the structure is that if there's reason to presume someone has received more than the exemption amount of income, there is a statute requiring the filing.
Yeah.
That presumption comes up because somebody has made an allegation, a legal allegation, that the individual in question was paid or received income. In other words, had dealings with the federal government, engaged in a contractual relationship, effectively, with the federal government. And the federal government will come and call its contract. Given that information, and, it is given information, a copy of it goes to the feds.
Now, stop for a second here, Peter. Now, when we say contract... Now, are you talking about this contract that we're the beneficiaries of this contract?
We're one of the participants in the contract.
Okay,
is what the implication is.
Right.
And when somebody says, Joe Smith received $5,000 in income, that implies that Joe Smith was doing something related to the federal government. He earned money in connection with a federal activity of some kind, and the federal government is going to say, I guess Joe owes us some of that because those are the terms on which we allow people to do business with us, to have dealings with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll go to Joe and say, Joe, somebody says you owe us some money. Now, Joe can stand mute and do nothing, and the system will he'll be defaulted. And that's what happens when somebody doesn't file a tax return under those circumstances where
now,
there's this allegation is in the air.
Now,
that's
now,
what a tax return is for. It's the answer to that allegation.
Okay. Now, the Irwin Schiff, now, he claimed that, you got to file an income tax return, file a 1040, but you put down there that you owe them zero.
Well, and it may well be that you do owe them zero. There many, many people do. Most Americans don't owe them anything. However, one of the things that Irwin didn't understand about the system is the nature and consequence of information returns. Those are W-2s, 1099s, K-1s. And so forth. Those are the forms in which the allegations are made.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, what even those who followed Irwin's prescriptions and did those zero returns, is they would also incorporate the testimony on information returns into their tax return. They'd staple the W-2 mm-hmm. onto the form.
Mm-hmm.
They would attach the 1099 onto the form. The 1099 and the W-2 say Joe Smith did receive income. Then on the 1040, it says Joe Smith received zero income. And the tax agency would take that form and say, this is self-contradictory. That qualifies as frivolous under our statutory definition, and that means it was never filed. That means it's a nullity. The return is a nullity. And they would throw it away. And that individual would lose by default.
I see.
So it's a matter of having the entire picture. Irwin went a long way towards understanding that the limitations of the tax. He unfortunately kind of focused on a corporate profit concept, which is not accurate, but he did understand that the taxing power, federal taxing power, is highly limited. It is absolutely not the way it is presented by the tax agencies, which benefit enormously from general ignorance of this subject. And so he was really a giant in the sense of illuminating many minds, and I have enormous admiration and respect for Irwin's contributions, particularly along that line.
The one thing that I have not heard you say, and any time that you would ask, and I originally put Irwin Schiff on Republic Radio International years ago, and he would get so many of the repeat questions, the same questions asked over and over and over again, and he got shorter and shorter in his responses, and then finally he would just end up saying, buy my book! Buy my book.
I'm terrible about that. I often will do a show like this, and I'll go through an hour or 2 hour session, and I won't even mention my website.
You know, people,
it doesn't occur to me.
You know, I'm with you on that, because I've been extremely lax in doing self-promotion. Self-promotion for me is not in my nature.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
just not, and I have to force myself to do it.
But that is the answer, though, and I'm glad you reminded me of that, John. Buy my book. Alan, buy my book.
Buy your book.
Okay. It does have the answers. It does. It will tell you what you need to know
all
about
right.
the tax.
All right, and Alan, thank you for call. Let's go to Idaho. Bill in Idaho. Hello, Bill.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks so very, very much,
yes,
John, and everybody out there for the wonderful job of attempting to preserve our constitutional republic day by day, minute by minute. I had a question for your guest, John, and I hope this isn't breaching anything. But I was wondering, are you aware of AJLF, and have you been in communication with them? It seems as if with times as they are, united tour de force discussion in regard to this. We're talking intrinsic fraud and right of contract.
Can I ask you a question, Bill? What is AJ whatever? What did you say?
AJLF.
Which is?
AJLF.com. But I am not sure. I only got part of the program with your guest,
mm-hmm.
and I was hoping if he could tell me. These people, it sounds like you're kind of in the same direction, and I haven't had a chance to review the book.
Okay, now, let me ask you this important question. Pete, are you aware of AJLF?
I'm not, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I just became aware of it, but it appears and appears to be in regard to reviewing your record via the Federal Reserve's books on you, who you are by code. And I noticed that your book title is Cracking the Code. So,
there are, of course, the code is a pretty broadly used expression in the law and elsewhere. And so there isn't necessarily any crossover there. I'm not familiar with AJLF. I will say that there are many, many, many people out there that have devoted time and attention to the issue of the income tax in particular, and a lot have really mastered one tree or another tree of the forest. I can't speak to or about each and every such researcher or entity, institution, what have you. All I can say is I've done my work, and I encourage you to look at it.
All right, Bill, is there any other part to your question or inquiry here?
Well, I was just hoping that I was hoping that he'd understand that I wasn't attempting to entrap him, or
no. I understand completely, and there are a lot of
not. Wait a minute. Let me interject this, Bill. You don't work for the federal government, do you?
I'm not
really
worried about that.
Bill, you didn't answer Bill, you didn't answer the question. You don't work for the Fed, do you?
Obviously not.
Okay, well, then there's no worry about entrapment there.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it in any event. I don't do anything illegal. In fact, the people
unlawful.
Who skulk in the shadows around me are the Feds. I don't do any skulking.
There you go.
Well, would you look at that and maybe make an attempt to make contact? Because if you're both addressing a common enemy and yet can incorporate more research strategy, it would seem like it would be a quicker path to victory.
At risk of sounding cocky, I will say that this this question has been resolved, and the evidence of its successful resolution is thick on my website.
All right, Bill, thanks for your call, Bill. We got to go to break here. I understand what Bill is after here, and I don't know if you would be of help to them or them of you, and I think that's what his concern was. Okay, thanks. Appreciate your call. We'll break here. We'll be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multiwave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multiwave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
F. Morris Hubbard, Treasury Department legislative draftsman. This is part of the House Congressional Record of March 27th of 1943, and to be exact, page 2580. The income tax is therefore not a tax on income or earnings as such. It is an excise tax with respect to certain activities and privileges, which is measured by reference to the income which they produce. The income is not the subject of the tax. It is the basis for determining the amount of tax. That sounds like Orwellian doublespeak to me. Pete, are you there?
I'm here, and you know, it's not the only thing that makes that declaration a little confusing. Is it needs to be understood that Hubbard was using the term income in when he says that the income is not the basis, is not the actual basis of the tax or the thing taxed, it's the basis of the measurement. He was using income then in the conventional Webster's Dictionary sense of the term, meaning the dollars that are associated with it. If you simply substitute dollars in that spot in the statement, you'll find that it suddenly makes perfect sense, understanding at the same time that income in the tax context sense simply means the benefit of the exercise of a federal privilege, which is measured by the dollars that are received in that exercise.
Well, and the if you go back a little bit earlier here, 1883, this was actually a court case, Butchers Union Company versus Crescent City, Colorado. United States Supreme Court excerpt here, it has been well said that the property which every man has in his own labor, as it is in the original foundation of all other property, so it is the most sacred and inviolable, and I would substitute by inviolate, but that's the terminology they used then. The patrimony of the poor man lies in the strength and dexterity of his own hands, and to hinder his employing this strength and dexterity in what matter he thinks proper without injury to his neighbor is a plain violation of this most sacred property.
Absolutely. If people exchange their resources for other people's resources as a matter of right, it is an exercise that predates the existence of government. In fact, we instituted government for the most part in order to protect our enjoyment of the property that results and our ability to engage in such contracts and to engage in such exchanges. It is not something subject to taxation.
Well,
however,
yeah,
using the federal government's property to make money to secure revenue, that is subject to tax, just as if your neighbor were to come and set up a lemonade stand at the end of your driveway, on your driveway, and sell lemonade for a dollar a glass, you would have every reasonable right to claim a part of the proceeds. And that's how it works.
So if I wanted to go set up a lemonade stand, say, on a U.S. Army base, the government could say, hey, where's my cut?
That's exactly right. That's the tax. And if one looks deep enough into the law, one finds that is exactly what is taxed. That is all that is taxed.
So if the government, I'm sitting in a government building, or they're paying my rent or whatever, I'm enjoying a direct benefit from the government, then they would have ample opportunity, and rightfully so, to come in and try to claim part of my proceeds as theirs.
Exactly right. They take it as an excise. An excise, more literally translated, means a piece of the action.
Piece of the action. I like that. Hey, we got calls stacked up here, Peter. Speaking of Peter, we got to go to Canada here. Peter in Canada. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to ask Mr. Hendrickson if he knows of anyone that's done work similar to his as far as picking apart the Canadian
system. You know, I don't, but I will say this. I have a lot of readers in Canada, and I generally get feedback to the effect of what I expect, and that is this. The Canadian system is an English law-based system, just as all of the English-speaking world is, and that system is very, very much in tune with the system here in America. And so while I do not address the particulars, the idiosyncrasies of the Canadian structure, and I don't know of anybody that has done so, although it may be that some of these readers up there have, anybody can get a great deal of insight into the structure, because the structures are all essentially the same. We have the same fundamental presumption activities. We have the same fundamental relationship of government and individual. There are going to be some variances in how those are implemented, but the fundamentals are going to be congruent.
You basically need to tinker a little bit here and there.
When you learned what you would learn from reading Cracking the Code, you would be able to go into the Canadian statutory structure with great insight, with a lot of illumination. Now, what that would end up, that would be you'd take it wherever you could, but you would find yourself much better equipped to do that analysis.
Yeah, your taxation, Peter, you're in Canada, your taxation rate up there, it's a socialized system. You people pay more taxes per capita than I think any country in the world. I don't know, maybe France is a close second, or maybe you're behind France, but you have a real socialized system up there that the government keeps taking people's taxes from them and supporting governmental programs. I call it redistribution of wealth. But have you figured out, Peter, what your taxation rate is in Canada right now?
With every level of taxation, it's probably around Just over 50%.
That's pretty high.
That is high. Yeah. Yeah, I just want to keep the few pennies in my pocket so I don't have to feel the lint in the bottom of it. That's all I'm asking. Hang on, Peter, if you've got any follow-up, Mike, Bob, Tom, and others. 800-313-9443. We've got a couple lines open and a half hour left on the program. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, we are back. One announcement here I want to make, because we're not going to be live on air. And coming up this Saturday in San Antonio, Texas, American Patriots vs. Johnny Sutton. Join the American Freedom Riders, U.S. Border Watch, Minuteman organization, and let me see if I can find it here real quick, Iron Pigs Motorcycle Club. And these are 500 cops are going to show up down there on their Harley Davidsons. And there's going to be tons of cops down there and tons of just the average citizen. I think this is the first time in the Patriot community that people are coming together with law enforcement. I'll use that term because that's what they're still stuck on. But at any rate, this is going to be a big deal, and this is going to happen Saturday. Okay, this is going to be this Saturday, June 30th. And let me dig up the information so I don't misquote here. The address on the place, oh boy, they did it to me. Somebody came in and moved my stuff. This is going to be in San Antonio. Here we go. At 12 noon to 2 p.m., the location is Loop 410 in San Antonio, Texas. Okay, and I do believe the address on that is 610. Let me make sure of my stuff here. Well, at any rate, I'll make sure that I get this out before the end of the program, but that's general general information, and you can get more info by going to AmericanFreedomRiders.com. That's AmericanFreedomRiders.com or USBorderWatch.com. And there are contact points on there. But, folks, tell you what, I'm going to try my reminder day, my birthday. I call it reminder day. That's going to be Friday. We're in the middle of a move. I'm going to try to carve out about 4 or 5 hours on Saturday afternoon to make sure that I'm down there. This is probably the first gathering of people. You know, you weren't born cops, you weren't born CPAs, you weren't born tax accountants, you weren't born anything else. You were born a human being, and that's what this thing is about: people coming together against the illegal jailing here of Campos, or Campion rather, and Mr. Ramos, along with other people that this Johnny Sutton, U.S. attorney, has gone after. Rather than going after the criminals, they're going after the people that are trying to enforce the law. And we've been telling these cops, I don't care what kind of badge they wear, what agency they work for, what PD, it doesn't matter, that it's going to come a day they're going to start coming after you. If you want to stand by the Constitution or stand by the difference between right and wrong, you're going to be in the same boat we are. They're now starting to see it, and they're responding to it. So, folks, I would urge you, I would urge everybody, to go to those sites, get down there Saturday. It's only for a couple hours, and that's going to be in front of the U.S. Attorney's Office, Johnny Sutton, and there's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cops down there. So, folks, bring your video cameras, pack your lunch, have a good time, and for once, we're uniting on one front, and I hope in the future we can use these fine people in uniform to convey more information to them constitutionally of what their jobs really are. So it's going to be it's a great start. So please, ladies and gentlemen, participate in this. All right, back to the callers here. Pete in Canada, did you have anything else for my guest today?
Yeah, I just had one quick question. As far as from the government's standpoint, legally speaking, is it that once you file that very first tax return, it's almost the equivalent of somebody basically signing into their system?
No, absolutely not. A tax return has the meaning that is conveyed by the content of the return. It isn't. There's no meaning associated with filing a return at all, other than to say, you know, filing a return constitutes an acknowledgement that you're aware that somebody else filed information about you, and you're responding to it. And every year is a different year for the system. Obviously, you know, even if you looked at things within the, you know, with the blinders that the beneficiaries of ignorance about the tax want people to see with, there are obviously years where you have something to report and years where you wouldn't have something to report, and every one of them is a unique event. Filling out a tax form says what you say on it. It either says, yes, I did receive more than the exemption amount of income, and here are the deductions I'm claiming and the distribution, you know, for the refund or the any payments that were made, et cetera, or no, I didn't receive that, and that allegation is incorrect, and I'm rebutting it formally here. And actually, the law in America, the law says that response, that tax return response, is the final word on the subject. It is dispositive, and it does so for very good reasons. And in fact, anyone that wants a really detailed discussion of those reasons, there happens to be a new item posted on the newsletter edition that will be up on my site tomorrow afternoon at losthorizons.com/newsletter.htm, and I encourage everyone to go there and look at that. And by the way, while I'm on that subject, if I may, John.
Yes.
You're mentioning the event in San Antonio on the 30th, and mm-hmm. I certainly hope that the people in the area participate in that. I'd like to mention another June 30th event that won't compete with that, if I may.
Okay, go ahead.
Ron Paul is going to be holding a rally in Des Moines, Iowa on the 30th. And the information for those in that area, and I know that you're listened to worldwide, and so there likely are some Iowans that would be able to make that event that are listening to this right now. That information will also be posted in tomorrow's newsletter.
All right. We appreciate that very much. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I've said of Ron, and Pete, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I've said of Ron Paul that he is such a gentleman. He is of such a gentle nature. I know him, and I know his brother. His brother is actually a CPA down in Florida, and I got to know him through the Dixon Cannon trial. He has some health problems, and I'll tell you what, the guy is he's sharp as a tack upstairs. But they both share one thing. They're not, how should I say, strong presenced individuals. Okay, they have a slighter demeanor.
Yeah, more of an academic personality.
It is, and I have encouraged Ron Paul, you know, to, you know, put a little sand in his little presentation. I loved when he went after Sean Hannity on Hannity and Combs, where he just stuck his finger in Sean Hannity's face.
He absolutely did.
And you could see the body language. Sean Hannity rocked back in his chair, his arms dropped, his palms were out, and he had just given up, because nobody that I've seen so far has been able to challenge that guy the way he did.
He is not accustomed to facing truth.
No,
too often.
That's for sure. Or people that are insistent with their finger in their face. So
absolutely, and his and Paul's dressing down of Giuliani at his reading assignment press conference at the press club the day after the June 5th North Carolina debate was also a nice display of a little more sand, as you put it, in Ron Paul, and it was delightful to see. But you're right; he's a low key kind of guy, but he's a very admirable gentleman.
Well, I think I interviewed his vice presidential pick, Jim Guest, out of Missouri, and he and Ron Paul have been. I interviewed him. Well, I've interviewed him a couple of times, but I had asked him on air, have you gotten the call? And he gave me a political answer. He said, well, I answer all my calls. And I said, no. Have you been called in case he gets the nomination? It's going to be an interesting fight. It's going to be uphill battle. But I think the more people learn about Ron Paul, they can forget the Hollywood presentation and version of what a president should look like and talk like.
Right.
But I would like to see Ron Paul be a little bit firmer in his answers and just be more in their face without being obnoxious or, you know, whatever else. He has the ability to do that, and I hope he does it more when challenged directly. Let's go to Mike in Maryland. Hello, Mike. Thanks for holding.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Before I ask my question or two, I thought maybe I'd like to help our friend from the Great White North who was wanting some information.
In Canada, yeah.
In Canada, there's a website called www.thinkfree.ca. And it's looks like it's a fairly comprehensive website that deals with the law and how to, you know, not necessarily circumvent it, but how to abide by the law and basically get over on the system. It looks like it's a very good website. There's a very good film on there by a gentleman called Robert Arthur Maynard, who, man, it's a two-hour film, but basically what happened to this guy, the Canadian version of the CPS snatched his kid, on, of course, as they usually do, under some false pretense, and he was going to go to court to fight it, and he confronted the person in the beer cat or whatever. He says, if you fight this in court, we'll bounce your kid for the next 5 years from one bad foster home to the other. And this guy, instead of getting mad, he got even, and he, I don't know if he started this website, but he's definitely a prime mover in it. And so there's all kinds of things on here
Good. That
maybe could help people in Canada and this country as well.
And for Peter in Canada, what was that website one more time?
Sure, www.thinkfree.ca.
That's simple enough. Okay, what was your question?
Well, yeah, I finally finished reading Cracking the Code, and it's not an easy book to read. especially for somebody like me that rode the short school bus to school. But is all that I have left to do is to file the 1090 and everything will be hunky-dory?
Well, I don't know about 1090. In fact, I'm not sure there is a 1090.
Isn't there a form back there that I can, or isn't there, well, what form is it that you fill out to get back the three-year tax?
Well, it depends on each individual circumstances. I'll tell you up front, I don't tell anybody what forms to file, what to say on a form, or even to file any forms. That's up to each person to decide for themselves based on their own individual circumstances. Bear in mind, every tax form is testimonial in nature. It's an affidavit. It actually is literally an affidavit in its legal meaning. And obviously, only the person who's going to sign on the dotted line is the one that can determine what should go on the affidavit that they are swearing to.
Is there a reason for doing that specifically, Peter?
Reason for
not giving people advice as to what to fill out, how to fill it out, so on and so forth.
Just what I say. I'm not privy to the information that's necessary to have in order to make those determinations.
So, in other words, if you were to give advice to somebody and they didn't tell you something, there was a misunderstanding.
Sure. It might be somebody working for the post office and asks me whether their earnings are taxable or not. And if I don't know key information, I might say yes, whatever.
Let's just say for educational purposes and for fun,
Well, even answering for educational purposes and for fun constitutes an answer, and so I don't give that kind of answer. However, I will say this. The process of responding accurately and properly to allegations about one's earnings is extremely simple. A person who has gained that knowledge, does their most Americans who've gained that knowledge, doing a tax form for them, doing a tax return, is a 10-minute operation.
Page number would I go to in the book?
Well, I don't in the book. I don't say this is what you should do or this is what
any particular
person should do. What I do, I explain what I do on my forms.
Okay, what page might that be?
In some detail, and that would be in the chapter titled "About 1040s and Claiming Refunds."
Okay.
I also, encourage those that have read the book to supplement that with a visit to losthorizons.com/tax/faq.htm. It's a frequently asked questions page. There's a lot of information that specifically addresses
on the Lost Horizons.
You want that website again?
LostHorizons.com.
/tax/faq.htm.
By the way, I wanted to ask you, Pete, and I probably should do this off air, but I was looking at your website, and it would seem to me that you could probably have a few more buttons on here to guide people with greater ease through your information on your website.
And there is a page for that. LostHorizons.com/IncomeTaxSiteMap. .htm.
I understand, but that is not spelled out on your website. And I'm just saying for people that are initially going to the website, just climbing into this Pandora's box dealing with the IRS.
It's a site that, 2.5 years ago, I've had my website's been up since 1997. I didn't write CTC until 2003. And at that point, began going from about a 10 megabyte website to what is now about a 300 megabyte website.
Gotcha.
I'm a one man operation here. So as the thing went along, it did kind of turn into a bit of a mare's nest, and I'll be the first to acknowledge that. there's a vast amount of information there, and I do my best to organize it. And really, seriously, the income tax sitemap page does provide links to category areas related to the subject of taxation and some other legal matters as well. And each one of them has its own subdivision. So it's sort of its own little tree, and that is the best place for people to start that are looking to do a comprehensive cataloging of the material there.
Very good. And I've got four callers here. We got exactly 10 minutes left in the broadcast. And quickly, if people want to get a copy of your book, and I know they're going to want to, how do they go about getting it?
LostHorizons.com/CC. That's the letter C, letter C, .htm.
All right. And how much is the book?
$19.95.
That's cheap.
That is cheap, plus shipping, but, it's cheap. Yeah,
that is.
The best 20 $20 that you'll ever spend. You know, the largest single refund I have posted on the site right now is more than $175,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, $20 is that's all it took to gain the knowledge to get that.
You know, there's one subject that I did not cover, and that was the Ed and Elaine Brown thing, but we will save that for another program. And you're familiar with what's going on with them up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Mike in Maryland, you're up next. We got five callers now, and we only got 10 minutes, so let's go through them quickly. Or I'm sorry, Bob in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Bob. Hello.
Well? I wanted to find out how many of you fellas have heard the commercial, I don't know, it's non-commercial commercial. I've heard it on stations in the Boston area.
Okay.
Going many years back. They started the commercial off. This voluntary tax.
Sure. Well, and it is essentially a voluntary tax in this sense. The tax falls on the exercise of the benefit of federal privilege. Engaging in the exercise of federal privilege is undertaken voluntarily. Now, once that is done, once that is it has been engaged in, paying the tax associated with it is no longer voluntary. That's as certain as the obligation to pay your Sears charge card if you volunteer to go into Sears and buy something. That's the distinction.
Well, there is no tax on your personal income.
Oh, no, no. There's absolutely a tax on income.
No, in other words,
the key is the meaning of income.
Yeah.
No, that is not so.
Bob, we don't have time here for a debate, and you're not a fast talker like I am. So I would invite you, I'm going to bring this gentleman back on the air, and I would invite you to call back in when we have more time. I don't want to be rude and cut you short, but we've got a roll here. And I really don't have time for the debate because we already covered what that income and what the statements mean and how the verbiage is and how we fall into that trap. I thank you for your call. Tom in Maryland. Hello, Tom. Hello, Tom. Tom, are you there? Let's go to Sam in Texas. Hello, Sam.
Yes.
W.Republic.
There you go.
I have a thing from an oil and gas mineral lease, and it says notice of confidentiality rights. If you are a natural person, you may remove or strike any of the following information for this before it is filed before the record in public record about your Social Security number and your driver's license. Does that mean anything in being a natural person or a citizen of the United
States? In the sense
States,
of the income tax? You're saying is there a distinction drawn in the application
right,
of the income tax to natural person?
U.S.
No, natural persons are perfectly capable of earning income, receiving income, and being liable for a tax thereon, just as unnatural, artificial persons, such as corporations
are.
Can
you define that a natural person?
There's no distinction in the law as to what kind of person the tax applies to. It applies to income earned by any kind of person. Again, the key distinction is the meaning of income.
What is a natural person?
What is a natural person?
Who declines the Federal Reserve and the...
Well, Pete, let me get your definition of what a natural person is.
Well, I presume that what we're talking about when we say natural person is a live human being.
Not a fictional corporate entity.
Not a fictional corporate entity.
Okay.
But the law doesn't draw any distinction between one type of person and another type of person in most cases, and certainly not in terms of the tax. If any person, any entity of any kind, even if we're a green alien from Mars, engaged in activities using federal prerogatives and federal privileges and earned money thereby, they would be subject to the tax. That's the issue. It has nothing to do with the status or characteristics of the entity. It is what they have done. The tax is a tax on taxable activities, not on the person, not on status.
Okay. What they told me was that if you don't sign this and say you're a U.S. citizen, you will be taxed at 33%
Certainly. That's a distinction in the law regarding the 30% withholding rate for non-resident alien beneficial recipients, and it's a different thing. But it doesn't have any. It doesn't make any difference as far as the application of the tax is concerned. It's just a withholding provision in situations where there won't be normal ability to enforce the tax, because you know it may be money that's going to somebody in Zimbabwe. The company that's paying it is obliged to withhold 30% in anticipation of a potential tax liability. That doesn't have anything to do with how the you know what the ultimate tax is. It's just a mechanism for protecting the government's interest.
Yeah, it's like setting up a trust fund or a fund
or
something.
You're telling me I can't get out of paying it, right?
I'm sorry?
You're telling me that I can't get out of paying the tax on
that. Well, if you actually received income, again, you know, income within the meaning of the term in the tax law, then you're going to have liability if it's above the exemption amount.
Why don't they just call it a liability tax and drop the income?
Well, they like the fact that that there's a lot of confusion about the meaning of income. You know, the American public uses that term as meaning all that comes in, you know,
right.
Every dollar, every you know, all earnings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what it means in the law, but most people don't recognize that distinction, and the system loves that fact.
Okay, I'll say it for you. I'll say it for you, Pete. Buy my book.
There you go,
Sam.
Thank you,
thank you for your call, sir. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
All right, Michael in New York, you're last up on this edition, the last live show out of this studio before we make the big move. We'll be back Monday morning with live programming starting at our regularly scheduled time. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, thanks, John, for taking my call, and that's a great privilege to wind this down with you guys. Great guest, great show. You know, the people just don't understand. We're talking about being taxed for labor. Not for an income, but for labor, and you can't tax your labor. That means that whatever you feel your value is worth to do whatever it is you do to make a living, that's legal productivity that somebody needs, you're doing a service to, then you're no longer worth that wage according to the government, because they're going to take a percentage of that from you, and they can't do that. They can't take from your labor. That's totally unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to say, John, that with respect to the vice president for Ron Paul, the great attorney general for Ron Paul's cabinet would be retired Sheriff Jack McLam.
Actually, he was never a sheriff. He was a police officer, and I heard you say that before.
He
was actually a police officer in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
He was part of the corporate Keystone Corporation ballyhoo out there. So
okay,
he was
for
never.
Clarifying that.
Yeah, he was never a sheriff.
Okay.
Richie Mack was a sheriff.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd still be a great attorney general. And then last, with this meeting where John Sutton's going showing up, I was just wondering, can we bring rope?
Well, I'll tell you what, I can almost guarantee you with almost 700, maybe 800 cops showing up down there, I don't think you'd be arrested. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, if we can bring rope, I'm heading down from New York.
Hey, well, come on down.
Thank you, John.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate your call. We only have about 1 minute left here. Any parting shots for the listening audience, Pete?
Well, I'd like to encourage everybody that is interested to visit LostHorizons.com. Those who have read Cracking the Code, I strongly encourage you to join your local state, your home state group. Go to LostHorizons.com/tax/stategroups.htm to sign up for any of the 48 state organizations of CTC Warriors. We are upholding the law, and we are obliging it to be restored, to restore the rule of law in this country. And I would welcome each and every one of you to come and join in.
And I'll tell the listeners out there, get good with your computers, because you can download this to file off of the archives and send it to your friends. Let them get educated. Break them into this so they can start understanding what the criminal element is, how people are being foisted into the situation, how they're going to jail, how they're losing their property, and everything else. Educated people is a foe that the government cannot handle. Trust me on that one. Pete, thank you so much. I appreciate it very much, sir.
Thanks, John. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you. Folks, we'll be back with you live Monday.